The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. As we dare to present ourselves in these sacred mysteries of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we would do well to remember that we approach these sacred mysteries in the context of a year of faith, as called for by our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI. A year of faith. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to enter into a year of faith? Another year of faith had been called. It had been summoned by Pope Paul VI. Perhaps the corresponding contextual realizations within which we live are of importance for us to remember the severity behind this summons that the Holy Father has given to us as the Church. Perhaps it was the confusion that overcame the Church in the days, months, and years following the Council, where it became very clear that evil had permeated the mystical bride of Christ and was leading her astray from within. And the true beauty and truth itself that was made manifest in the Council and the gathering of the bishops of the Church became shrouded in confusion, darkness, and doubt. And the Holy Father called the mystical bride of Christ, the Church, into a year of faith, to be grounded in the encounter with the risen Lord. We fast forward, and in this year of 2012, we find ourselves again entering into a year of faith. But it's not just a result of the darkness of the world around us, where the culture of death seems to be presenting to the Church an ever seemingly insurmountable, difficult challenge to continue to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in a world which has labeled us as bigots. The world which has turned itself away from objective truth and has reveled in that mysterious whisper of doubt that the evil one has made the mantra of many of our government leaders. And yet here we are entering into a year of faith, trying to grapple with the fullness of what the Holy Father expects for the entirety of the church. What is the goal in all of this? Why ground us in yet another year of faith? We come on the recent changes in the English-speaking church, anyway, of the new missal, the new translation of the missal, that is. And Catholic Christians in many parishes are overcome with questions. Priests are speaking out against the magisterium because they themselves don't understand the truth that is meant to be conveyed in the prayers that the altar Christos offers at the altar. But then at the world at large, the Holy Father sees the entire continent of Europe spiraling out of control. Entire regions of once famed Catholic countries no longer know the person of our Lord, nor know to turn to his resurrection or the passion for consolation. Perhaps these are the reasons for this declared year of faith. Maybe it's to ground every single individual soul in the encounter they have with the risen Lord, so that we know that when we have an encounter with the Lord, there are several things that are expected of us. We are expected to understand that he comes to claim us for who we are, not what we want to be, but who we are. He sees us for the person that we are right now, and he understands we are in desperate need of everything that he is. But if we are constantly focused on dreaming about the future or worrying about the past, we're missing the invitation that has been extended in the present moment by the God-man who came to save us from ourselves, save us from our fears, and perhaps even save us from our dreams, to ground us in the person of God himself, made present day in and day out in the sacred liturgy of his holy church. That reality will become the sustenance that will carry us through the challenges that we experience as a result of the secular world trying to completely ignore, maybe sometimes even grapple with, the experience of the resurrection. In the refusal and the turn away from God, there is an explicit denial that God came back from the dead. You'll notice that they revel in this idea that God is dead. We've moved beyond him. There's no more. Man is it. And therefore, since we are it, we write our own destiny. The logical consequences of our choices don't matter because what you see is what you get. And yet the Christian is called to stand up and give testimony to the reality that by the mere fact we exist and we draw close to the one who died on the cross, all that you see is not all that there is. The gift of faith is meant to permeate everything we are, everything we are about, and the entirety of our soul identity must be rooted in him. For those of you who have been at Casa Maria since Friday, we've delved into different excerpts and meditations on what it meant to understand authentic femininity. All of this was in a preparation for this moment in time, right here and right now, this holy sacrifice of the Mass on this Sunday, where we are called to delve into the great gift, the great mystery of the resurrection, to understand that in order to fully comprehend to the degree possible, the degree allowed by God in his providence, the mystery and the gift of the resurrection, we must allow our Lord Jesus Christ to reveal to us who we are, so as to understand that complete gift of self that he expects of us when we encounter him. If we try to offer him someone else, or the dreams of what we would like to be, or the worries and faults over who we were, we're not living in the present moment. And the resurrection is just a fable. It's just a story. It's just some lost detail in a historical account. But if we are aware of who we are right here and right now as a result of delving into the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we allow him to show us who we are in this present moment, then we can fully enter into the encounter with the risen Lord. We can understand the true gift that the martyrs gave when we celebrated on Friday. We can understand the maternal affection that Our Lady expressed when we remembered yesterday on Saturday. And we can realize how all of that builds us up into the resurrection moment, where while we gather together and meditate upon the reality of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that this is not it. There is more to come. And that more to come is rooted in the love that fills every fiber of being that is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God incarnate, the Christ. All of these realities are meant to become our own so that we possess them to the degree that will motivate us to become ever more closely united with our Lord. And we look upon the example of James and John, their eagerness, their desire to sit at the right, to sit at the left, to be ever close to the Lord in his kingdom, not in the kingdom of this world. You don't hear them making that request of Herod. You don't hear them making that request of Pilate. They see in the absolute possession of their own humanity, as it's been revealed to them by journeying with our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the source of all that there is. He is the author of reality. And to be with him, to be in him, is to know all that there is to know, so as to be completely content in the possession of life. And the frustration that the other apostles express, their humanity, comes out. Who are you to ask to be number one or number two, to sit on the right or to sit on the left? And our Lord cuts him to the quick. Do not be so focused on the position, for it is I who come to you. It is not you who fight with one another over coming to me. And that's the great mystery of the gift of faith. It is made available to each and every single individual who has been opened in God's providence to be open to the gift of himself. May we not become so focused on pride of place or the position within the kingdom, but realize that our Lord Jesus Christ died as a result of his immense love for each one of us. And that motivating principle of his love for each one of us is what has to motivate us to stand up and be strong in the face of a certain death as the culture seeks to lay it upon us. For the Catholic Christian who in today's world, in this country, the United States of America, for that Catholic Christian to walk around and say there's nothing wrong in the world, you're denying all that our Lord is about. Because we have a new definition of normal. We have a renewed definition of sacrifice. And we have an overwhelming gift of mystery that encompasses the entirety of our being and helps us realize that everything we are about in this moment in time is meant to be a preparation for the extreme and awesome and eternal encounter that awaits us in the existence of heaven. Perhaps that is what the Year of Faith is about. To look back into the example and the lives and the names of the men who followed our Lord as his initial 12, and to realize that he came, entered into, sanctified, saved, brought to himself their humanity. And they now are these mileposts, these lighthouses in the darkness of this world where we find ourselves, of how to remain faithful to him in the here and now, so as to reign with him in the future in heaven. As we enter ever more deeply into the holy sacrifice of the Mass, let us keep in mind that our Lord Jesus Christ is all we need. He is the one whom we seek to have an encounter with. And it is through him, in him, and with him that the entirety of our humanity will be saved, made pure, made holy, made worthy of the gift of heaven.